The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Starting the series this morning, like I said in the first service, I don't know what I will title it. But for now, let's call it Fulfilling Your Ministry. Hallelujah. Fulfilling Your Ministry. Do you want to hear this morning? Fulfilling Your Ministry. Amen. You see, I'll start by reading 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. Hallelujah. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Make full proof. That's what it means to fulfill your ministry. If you read with other translations, they will present the NLT said, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Fully carry out. You know, it was message that said, you should do a thorough job. Message said, but you keep your eye on what you are doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. Tell anybody, say, do a thorough job. Come on, tell me. You won't beat you. Say, do a thorough job as God's servant. Say, do a thorough job. So, that's an assignment to fulfill our ministry. In Colossians 4 verse 17, it says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So I was telling them in the first service, I could also call this teaching Archippus. Amen. Whichever one. Let's see how it goes. Amen. But we're generally learning how we can fulfill our ministry. I'd like to start by saying to you that every believer in Christ has a ministry. Every believer in Christ is called. Every believer in Christ is called. I say that all the time and I will never get tired of saying it. Every believer in Christ is called. Ministry, as we call it, is not only for people who are called to be pastors, apostles, and all of that. As a matter of fact, I showed you in the first service, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, you notice it said, he gave some apostles, secondarily, prophets, teachers, you know, miracles. These are all the, you know, most times when we talk about ministry gifts or callings in the body of Christ, we rush to Ephesians 4. We will just list out apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. And it makes it look like if you don't have calling to stand any of these offices, that you are not called of God. But that's not correct. Because if you look at this verse, it mentioned other things, miracles, healings, helps, government. And government talks about leadership. Amen. So someone could possibly just stay in church as a leader in church, but not a pastor. I know what I'm talking about. Are you following me? Leadership. Of course, pastors function in that office of governance also. I get the point. But someone can just be leading. And so that idea that if I'm not called to start a church or called to be an apostle, that I'm not called to ministry, is actually false. It's false. It's a wrong narrative that has gone deep in the body of Christ. And so ministry is for pastors. Why some others are just existing to give money? Why pastors are doing the work? No. Ministry is all our responsibilities. It's everybody's responsibility. And so everybody has a calling. We might differ in the calling, but we all have that calling. As a matter of fact, the reason we tell people to grow spiritually is so that they can do ministry. The purpose of spiritual growth is ministry. God wants you to grow so that you can serve Him. Are you here? I showed you that in first service, Ephesians 4 verse 11. Excuse me. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In verse 12, He tells you why they were given, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. And you know, the King James does not really do a proper job. You know, the translation, in this verse. Because like I was saying in the first service, you look at this verse, it looks like it's talking about three things. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the independent of the blood of Christ. Whereas it's talking about one thing. NLT says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. In fact, NLT doesn't even do the proper job. It is Amplified Classic that did a better job with how it appears in the Greek. His intention was a perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building of the body of Christ. It's one work. I feel what I'm saying. It is for the purpose. So the reason why you come to church and doing all of this is so that you can grow. And when you grow, what will happen? You become a minister. I get what I'm saying? Are you following me this morning? So ministry is the purpose for spiritual growth. And let me answer the question. What is ministry? Because people are like, ministry. So I'm not a minister. Are you a minister? This is Minister Rose. Now this is Minister Mona. For me, I'm not a minister. I'm just a member. No. The word ministry simply means to serve. That's what it means. To serve. So when you see he's a minister, it means he's a servant. And one of the things we must do in the body of Christ is serving. And I'm going to make it very clear to you that the major way you serve God is through man. I'll say that again. The major way you serve God is through man. Because you cannot actually see God, but you can see him through man. Are you following me? I want to say it again. The major way you serve God is how? Talk back to me. How do you serve God? Glory to God. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now see this, for I was an hungered. What does that mean? I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I answer unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, I'm coming to this verse shortly, you have done it unto me. So how do you do things to Jesus? Do it to man. Amen. And it's not just every man, because I'm coming to that shortly. So how do you serve God? You serve God through man. But then, it's not everything you do towards man that is ministry. It's not everything you do towards man and towards every man that will qualify to be called ministry. You have to get that very clear. The fact that you are sharing food to people may or may not be ministry. It depends on who you are sharing the food. And I'm coming to that. So what is ministry? It is to serve man. The way I put it in the first service, it is to serve God through man. To serve God through man. And there are two major ways to serve God through man. Two major ways. Number one is to serve or minister to the sinners the gospel. To minister the gospel to sinners. Now, I didn't say to share food to sinners. If you meet a sinner and you are giving him food and things, you are not doing ministry, sir. You are not. I feel what I'm saying. That's why I'm going to make it very clear to you. If you are not preaching the gospel, you are not doing ministry. And let me even say something. You don't preach the gospel. You know, this people might fight with this, but let me just make it very clear. You don't preach the gospel with your lifestyle. Either do you preach the gospel with your profession? You preach the gospel with your mouth. You open your mouth and talk. People can learn morality by observing your lifestyle, but they only get saved when you preach the gospel to them. People can learn how to dress by seeing you dress. But people say the highest gospel you can preach to people is your life. That's not true. The highest gospel you can preach to people is the gospel. Say amen. I said, say amen. I will not preach with your life. People can see you as a serious Christian and say, Kai, I want to be a Christian too. That's beautiful. But that will not get them saved. That's just a desire. They will need to hear to be saved. And that's what you owe sinners. You don't owe sinners charity. You don't owe sinners comedy. Someone cannot say, my calling is to be a comedian. And that's what is reigning in our generation today. And that's nonsense. Say, my calling is comedy. Nothing is wrong with comedy, but that's what everybody's calling. I go what I'm talking about. Let me give you a very simple way to be safe in many things concerning doctrine. Stay with the written word. If there was nobody in the Bible ever called of God to be a doctor, God cannot begin to call people now to become doctors. If he never called anybody in the Bible this to become doctors, is it very clear? Yeah. Your calling cannot be politics, because nobody was ever called a politician. Are you following me? As a matter of fact, there was a man in the Bible called Erastus, who the Bible tells us was the city treasurer. You remember him? The city treasurer. Yet, Paul never said he's called to be a treasurer. He was a minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. But then, in his profession, he was the city treasurer, the chamberlain of the city. And so you must realize what calling is. Calling and ministry is not what you do towards everybody. It is first of all to serve sinners with the gospel. And also, if you're not doing that, you're not doing ministry. So how do I serve God? Because I was saying it in first service, people don't know what serving God is. They say, what are you going to church do this morning? I'm going to church to serve God. No, sir. You are going to church for God to serve you, to bless you. Because like I'm teaching now, I'm blessing you, right? Yes. Now, that is not what serving God is. Say, let's serve God. We are worshiping God in our room. What do you think you are doing? What do you think God is? As I worship him, he will be rejoicing. They are worshiping him. That's not serving God. Nothing is wrong with all of those things. But that's not serving God. To serve God is to serve him through man. First of all, through sinners, by preaching the gospel to them. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. All things of God, who has reconciled us to himself, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's how to serve God. The ministry, all the ministry is service. The service, or the assignment, or the responsibility of reconciling men to him. Now, I didn't say reconciling God to man, or reconciling man to God. Do you understand that? Because God has no problem with man. It is man that has problem with God. Do you get the point now? It is man will reconcile to God and not God to man. Say, sir, it's just English. It's not just English. It makes all the difference. God is not angry with anybody. Are you aware? You know, even sinners, God is not angry with sinners. Great man of God many years ago preached a message he called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I respect the man, but the message is wrong. Sinners are not in the hands of an angry God, sir. God loves sinners. For God so loved the world. Are you following me, friends? What God hates is sin, and not sinners. They bring a patient to the world for... Where is Dr. Angel? Okay, is she taking a class? Or she's taking a class. Where is Dr. Yuti? They bring a patient to a doctor. You lie down, you lay the patient down. They say the patient has appendicitis. I'm going to show you how, what God is and how he treats sinners. And you lie the patient down and then you cut the person open. You're not cutting because you hate the person. You love the person, you hate the appendicitis. So, because a doctor is coming with knife, what they call those things? Scissors. Whatever. It's not gonna. Like, coming with that,
It's not because he hates the patients. He loves the patients. He hates the appendicitis. So God doesn't hate sinners. He hates the sin. So he doesn't go to destroy. So what God is trying to do is to cut off the problem and save the person. And that's what our job is. We go preach to sinners, reconciling men back to God. Are you getting the point? That's how you serve God. And so listen to me, if you're here and you're not preaching the gospel to anyone, any sinner, you are not serving God. Take it from me. You're not. If you like, we didn't give away on Facebook. Glory to God. Not even anything now. You know, I say anything. I'm not condemning. I'm just telling you what I observe. And I think it's okay to talk. Just once you're driving along the road, meet any woman or any woman that is selling something, put on your camera, say, you know, so I saw this woman selling along the road, and I began to ask her, she said she has not eaten, she has 15 children, and I now said, madam, let me just bless you. He gave 50K, and video it and post it. People come in our comment section, we need more men like you. You are the one serving. You know, I'm going to address some things in this series. Because actually the second way to serve God through man is to serve the saints. Listen, charity is good. But even, I will show you in the Bible, even people in the Bible, they were not careless with charity the way we are with it. I'm going to show you. Because what you owe sinners as ministry is the gospel. What you owe the saints is to serve them. So now I'm doing ministry. Why am I doing ministry? I'm teaching the saints the word of God. The usher is doing ministry, directing the saints, helping the put keep service in order. Choir that are doing ministry. So ministry is what you do for sinners, preaching the gospel to them, what you do for saints, serving them. And I'm emphasizing saints because it is not serving everybody on earth that makes you a minister. If serving everybody on earth makes you a minister, then you don't need to be born again to be a minister. Because anybody can serve anybody on it. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. To forget your work and labor of love, which you have shewed towards his name. What is that labor of love? Read with me. Are you here? Read with me. In that you have ministered to the saints and... So what is the labor of love? You minister to the whole world? To who? The saints. So we owe the sinners the gospel. We serve the saints. We minister to them. In whatever capacity. So you see what I keep explaining to you guys. Imede plays keyboard. This keyboard is playing. He can as well go to a wake keep and play it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can go to a wedding and play it. But it will not count before God as ministry. God is not going to say Mary is doing ministry because he's playing keyboard at an event. But if Mary plays that keyboard to serve the saints, it becomes a labor of love. I'm not explaining what ministry is to you simply. When you preach the gospel to sinners and then you serve the saints in whatever capacity. Are you here? And so that's why you notice, that's why I gave that example of going on Facebook and saying you didn't give away. I'm not saying it's bad. It's philanthropy. It is not ministry. You know, I showed this in first service. In Acts chapter, I think that's chapter 11. Chapter 11, Agabus stood up and gave a prophecy. Get it for me. Agabus stood up in the early church and gave a prophecy, and in his prophecy he prophesied that in the days of Claudius Caesar there will be a famine, a great death. There will be a great death throughout the world. And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now see verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto everybody in the whole world. Is that what they did? What did they do? Unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So they were specific with their charity. They didn't say money to everybody. Probably like an NLT of this verse. Let's read together. to the brothers and sisters
in Judea. Everyone giving as far as they could. So they didn't just say, let's send money to everybody. They know that what counts before God is what you do for saints. What counts that you do for sinners is that you preach the gospel to them. So if we're going for mission work and we're going with relief materials, let us be very sure that that's not ministry. Except you now preach the gospel to them in the process. Are you what I'm saying? The early church never shared food to the world. They shared food among themselves. So what you owe sinners is gospel. What you owe saints, you serve them whatever capacity. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15 tells us about the household of Stephanas. You know, and what is it about them? They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Look at that. They didn't addict themselves to ministry to everybody. The saints. The saints. Put up like NLT of this. Let's do it like a mass choir. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now give your voices. Let's go. You know Stephanas and household. We are the first of the harvest of believers in Greece. And they are spending their lives in service to God's people. So it's not as though they are all over the place doing community service, sweeping the community. If you do that, it's okay. That's why I said something in first service. One major challenge that the gospel will have in these last days is humanism. Humanism. Trying to substitute ministry for being a humanitarian. I go, I'm talking about. He said, even people who are building industries and companies are serving God more than all of you preaching all over the place. That's a terrible lie, sir. Terrible lie. Building industry, build company, make money from it. Do whatever you can. But that's not serving God. So you get to heaven, God says, I'm going to reward you because you built company. Oh. I feel what I'm saying. Humanism is the problem. People think, just be a kind person, be a good person. All this preaching, preaching, preaching. You know, because I see a man of God. I see a billionaire, actually. I've talked about this many times. That was Cosmos Madoka, the CEO of Cosmos and all that. And he was with his microphone preaching. Man, this guy is a billionaire. He was preaching in the streets. And then somebody came and commented. I think he was one of those all these OAPs. One freeze guy like that. I think it was him. That said that he would have reached more people. That many other ways to serve God apart from preaching. That why should a billionaire be carrying mic? That he should be his company, giving people scholarship, giving them jobs, as he's doing that, he's doing ministry. That's nonsense. That's not ministry. Give scholarship, but scholarship, they will collect it and go to hell. I know what I'm saying. They will collect scholarship and go to hell. That's not ministry. Ministry is that you are preaching, then you are serving the saints in whatever capacity that you can. Are you following me? So I have to define that. So ministry is not basically being called a pastor or being called an apostle. It is to preach the gospel to sinners and serve the saints. In church now, we can tell you to be in the choir. In church, we can tell you to be an usher. In church, we can tell you to teach Sunday school. We can tell you to teach classes. Those, you are serving God. Man this for us, man that for us. That's serving God. That's what ministry is. That's what we must do. Are you still here? That's what we must do. And so you notice, that's what ministry to the saints is. And I want to say, God wants to use you. God wants to use everybody. And if there's nothing else you're going home with from this service, go home with this consciousness that God wants to use me. God wants to use everybody. I have not seen a believer that God says, I can't use this one. I've never seen. There is no believer that he says, I can't use. No, sir. He can use everybody. And he wants to use everybody. And I said in the first service, let God use you. Someone needs to hear that. Allow God use you. And I gave them reasons why you must let God use you. The first reason why you must allow God use you is that this is even the purpose of your existence. The reason God created in the first place so that you can serve him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep
his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. So if you had met God and asked God, why are you creating this person? God will tell you specifically, I want him to serve me. That's why. Because you check the Bible, I said this at Rosophat, why did God create everything on earth? He created everything on earth because of man. That's why he made sure he created everything before he created man. He created the sun because man will need the sun. He created water because man will need water. He created plants because man will need plants. He created animals. Everything was created for man. Then why was man created? Man was created for God. So man is the purpose of the creation. But God is the purpose of man. Man is the reason for the creation of everything. God is the reason man was created. So he can fellowship with us, interact with us. That's why he made you. And so when you are not serving him, you are not fulfilling the major reason you were created. You are like a car that has been created to transport you from one place to another. But all you are serving us now is hunger for spreading clothes. You know those cars they use for spreading clothes? Huh? Glory to God. Not only clothes. Crayfish. I saw a picture where one guy bought a car and went up to the village to go and see the mom. The next day, the mom has spread crayfish on his car. And you can't do nothing. You know, that's not the purpose of a car. Can you spread crayfish on it? You can. But if all it does is spreading crayfish, it's a failed car. I get the point. That's why, can you do whatever you want to do on earth? Yes. But if you are not serving God, you are not fulfilling the purpose of your creation. You are not. You are not, sir. Are you following what I'm saying? So that you must understand, we serve God. The first thing you must do ministry is because that's even the major purpose God created you. God did not create you, sir, so that you can be just on the street, loafing up and down. That's why he created you. He didn't create so that you can be a teacher in secondary school. That's not why he created you. I know this, what I'm teaching is not a popular message. Because what is very in this generation is that, you know, the same way you are called to be a pastor, another person can be called to be a doctor. I don't agree with that. It's not in the Bible. Paul was not called to be a doctor. Luke in the Bible was a medical doctor by training. But he was a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't go up and down preaching medicine. He preached the gospel. I feel what I'm saying. Nobody is called to be a politician, sir. The funny one is called to be a comedian. To be bringing happiness to people by saying vulgar things. Nobody has that calling. Now, can a Christian be a comedian? Yes. Are you following what I'm saying? Where should the Christian perform? In his comedy shows. Not in the church. Now, if I have a member of our church who becomes a comedian and organizes shows, will I attend full time? What am I going there to do? To laugh. Will I have sinned against God? In no way, sir. I will laugh. When people hear me talk about comedy, it looks like I don't hate comedy. I watch a few of them on my phone. And when I share some of them with you, now I watch them. Some are really good. They make us laugh. I just get pissed. Once you do any joke with the church, we are fought. The church is not for joke. Pastors are not objects of comedy. The Bible is not a book of comedy. It's the book that saves you, not to joke with. There's nothing funny about tongues. Nothing funny about healing. Nothing funny about prayer. Nothing funny about the church. It's not a funny place. We only laugh in the Holy Ghost. I know what I'm talking about. So I don't, once you cry that I'm joking, you've lost me. Cry joke about Nigeria, I'm going to laugh. Because the country itself is funny. Oh, I'm enjoying this second service more. Are you learning something here? The country itself is funny, so you just be here and just observe. Oh my God. You know, any day you're angry, just look around. There's a reason to laugh. And the only problem, don't think about Nigeria too deeply. No, just don't, if you think too deeply, you might die. Just think, look at it in a very shallow way and just laugh. I never knew that a day will come in this world when snakes will be so big that they can swallow millions of naira. See, God is faithful.
only in Nigeria. So when you see those things, you don't start getting angry, you just laugh. I crack joke with those things. But to now begin to say you're a Christian comedian, you're entertaining us, the sense of God, that you're not doing ministry. Want to do ministry? Carry your Bible. Saturday, we must go and preach. And that's why what you do with your career and profession is that as you are rising in that career, let that career now become a platform to preach the gospel. So imagine you're a comedian and you become very popular. At least by the time you get to anywhere, working for evangelism, people just know you. They say, is this not comedy? And they say, yes, it's me. They will come around you. And say, well, I didn't come here for comedy. I just want to preach the gospel to you. Now, that career has become a platform for preaching the gospel. I know what I'm talking about. But you're an actor. Acting is not a calling. Acting is a career. Nothing wrong with that. But then, it cannot become a platform. God wants to use you. Let him use you because that's why he created you. The second reason why he must let God use you is because that is the reason he saved you. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us in verse 15 that he died for all so that all who live will no longer live for themselves but for him that died for them. So the reason he created you is so that you can serve him. The reason he saved you is so that you can serve him. So we are saved to serve. Should I say that again? We are saved to serve. The reason we are saved is that we can serve Jesus. So he didn't save us just for saving sake. He saved us so we can become servants of him. So he died for all so that all who live should stop living for themselves. Put up like an L2 of that verse. You live in translation. Glory to God. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. The third reason why you must let God use you is because a lot of people need your help. A lot of people will be blessed if you allow God to use you. You know, there's something I need to say to somebody here. You actually don't know the abilities you have. You actually don't know how much you can do for and with God till you begin to let God use you. Everything I'm doing now, I didn't know I could do some years ago. But you let God use you. Judges 5 verse 7 tells us about Deborah. He said the inhabitants of the village seized. The inhabitants of the village seized. They seized in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So there are things that will keep going wrong until someone rises. There are people that will remain depressed until somebody allows God to use him. There are people that will remain sick until someone allows God to use him. It says, sir, but there are many healing evangelists in the world. They can heal them. Well, for some reason, I don't know, but for some reason, there are certain people that can only be healed by you. Except you refuse to arise. God can pass that assignment to another person. I give them an example in the first service. That crippled man that Peter and John healed in Acts chapter 3 have always been at that temple gates throughout the time Jesus was passing there every day. Jesus never healed him. Think about that. Jesus was entering the temple every day. That crippled man was there. Jesus never healed him. Did you also observe that in John, I think John chapter 5 or so, that Jesus, glory to God, went to the river, that pool of Bethesda. Bible said there were many sick people who were there. Many. And yet Jesus healed only one person. Are you following everybody? Healed only one person and left. Now, is it because he hates the others? No. Some of them, you are the one that will heal them. Are you following me? So if you let God use you, you will be a blessing to your world. If you let God use you, you will be a blessing to people. And might I say to you, if you do not let God use you, something else will use you and something lesser will use you. Let me tell you, everybody is being used by something. Something is using you. Either God is using you or it's something lesser than God is using you. Some people that say God should not use them. Church is calm. Your pastor is using you. I don't even want to do all of that. They are complaining. Yet, you look at their life, things are using them. Some of them, it is drugs using them. Weed is using their head. Some of them, Satan is using them to cause trouble. Amen. I said amen. Someone is complaining that your pastor is using you to change the world. Meanwhile, it's not even your pastor, it's God using you, but let's put it like that. Yet the devil is using her to scatter somebody's marriage by being side chick. So, which is better? To be used of God to carry speakers or used by the devil to be a side chick? Think about that. Let God use you. If not, something else will use you. Because everybody is being used by something. There are people, it's demons using them. The devil is using them. There are people the Bible talks about in Proverbs, men who sow a seed of discord. Any place they enter, trouble will come. Have you met such people before? Now, those people are being used by something too. Let God use you. If you don't let God use you, something else will use you. Sometimes somebody else will even use you. There are people are using people all over the place. Allow God to use you. Because God wants to use you. And He wants to use you to change your world. And if you let Him use you, friend, many people will be blessed because you came. So God wants to use you. Are you still here? However, God will not use all of us the same way. Now, this is where I'm getting closer to what I want to share with you today. God will not use all of us the same way. No, He won't. Now, there are two reasons why God won't use all of us the same way. Are you here? Are you still here? Number one reason is because people have different callings. So, because people have different callings, and those callings are not decided by man. You can't decide whether you'll be an apostle. You can't decide whether God will ask you to start a church. You can't decide whether you'll be a prophet. You can't decide any of those things. It is God that decides it by Himself. And so because He has that choice of deciding it, He can use all of us the same way. In the same capacity. In the same dimensions. Are you still here? So there is someone that all God may have him do is to just serve in the church. But let me say something I didn't say in the first service. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You see, God will use all of us the same way because of callings. But I'd like to make something very clear to you. There is actually no calling that is more important than another calling. Now, you must understand this. It is a system, it's the world system that is putting that thing in our mind. Because we think that when you get to a company, that the manager is more important than the gate man. Now, that's what how the world system functions. But even in that world system, it's still not true. Because if the gate man doesn't open that gate, and all of us have to come down, open our gate, move in, then there'll be a problem. Where the matters of callings are not matters of hierarchy. It's about responsibility. Division of labor. Just like in the human body. There is no part of your body that is more important than another part of your body. No part of your body, sir. Because, he said, why? Because there is no part of the body that can do the work of another part. Are you following me? Your eyes cannot hear. And your mouth cannot walk. Are you following me? What does your kidney do? Huh? Say so that people around you can hear the rubbish you are saying. It does what? Urine information. Whatever your kidney is doing, you cannot see. As important as your kidney may be. You see, it is this system that makes us think that the pastor is more important than the usher. No. The pastor is not more important than the usher. The pastor just has a responsibility to lead. I get the point. So it's not a matter of importance. Every calling is important. Whatever God asks you to do is as important. The important is that he told you to do it. I think that's the important thing. What is that? He gave you the work. He gave you the work. And when God will, I'll come to rewards later, not today. When God will reward, he will not reward the work given. He will reward the faithfulness to the work. So God is not going to reward me more. You know, God is a God of justice. If he rewards a pastor more than he rewards an usher, just because the pastor is a pastor, then that's not justice. Because did you make me a pastor? That's how I will not be. I get what I'm talking about. So what he will reward is not, I'm going to reward you more because you're apostle. Reward the other person less because he's what? Technical. So technical carrying instruments, that one is small. No. The important thing is that whatever he was asked to do, he did it well. I get what I'm talking about. That's what, he rewards faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. That's God's system of reward. God's system of reward is not the same as man's system of reward. In man's, why am I talking about this now? In man's system of reward, man rewards based on job description. So, a gate man is paid less than the manager. But that's not how God does his things. What God will reward is faithfulness. If an usher, a chorister, is more faithful in his work than a bishop, he'll be rewarded more than the bishops are. Who is what I'm talking about? Are you following me at all? In the Bible, there was a parable. Jesus, a man came out in the morning at 6 a.m. Look at this parable. And saw some people standing on the street and hired them to work for him. He came out by 9. He agreed their wages with them. Came out by 9, hired the next set. Came out by 12, hired the next set. Came out by 3, hired the next set. Came out by 5 p.m., hired another set. And all of them closed work by 6. He paid all of them the same thing. Are you following me? The people hired in the morning got angry. Ah, we worked longer. And he told them, this is what I agreed with you. The important thing is that when I hired you, you did your work. It is faithfulness that he rewards. And not actually. And so, if the man doing crusade in all the nations, that's what he has been asked to do. And the other person has just been asked to serve in his local church and he serves faithfully. And the one that did crusade did it faithfully. The reward is coming. He will reward everybody. Are you following me, friends? So his faithfulness, he rewards. That's why one of the things you must do for yourself, if you're going to grow in ministry, is that you must define early what success is. Define early what success is. You know, I said this in the first time, but I didn't go for it and just explain it. Why you must define early what success is very simple. If you don't define what success is, you'll be carried away. There are many pastors that are looking for crowd today because to them, crowd is success. No. Who's following me at all? There are a lot of people looking for money today because success for them is when you have money, have fine church, have everything. That's not success. Success is simply obeying God. If you do what God asks you to do, you have succeeded. Are you following me? So go say every morning, jump up, sit down. Just do it, you have succeeded. Glory to God. And so, you notice God wants to use you. He wants us at the same capacity. Different people will be used differently because, first of all, of their different callings. But then, there's another reason why people will be used differently. Not just their callings, but because of how they have set themselves up to be used. And so, listen, God determines what you'll be used for. But you determine how far you will go in whatever God has put you. You determine it. That's why how you set up yourself for God to use you will determine how far you will go. So let's look at that scripture we looked at in the first service. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 16. 2 Timothy 2 verse 16. Are you learning something? Are you enjoying this? Are you getting blessed? Let's read together, everybody. Did you sleep well last night? Huh? Why didn't you sleep well? You woke up too early. Now, read like you have life in you because you actually do. Let's go now. Okay, continue. And their word will eat has done a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. It gets interesting from here. Let's go. Nevertheless, foundation of the Lord, of God standard, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them and are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor. We'll stop here for now. Some to the soul. There are many vessels. Now, there are many vessels. There are vessels of honor. Go back to the previous verse. Nobody asked you to come here. There are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. There are vessels of gold, there are vessels of silver. Are you here? There are different, there are vessels of wood. And if you're just a careless Bible study student, you will assume that it is God that determines whatever vessel anybody is. Say, pastor is the vessel of gold. Assistant pastor is vessel of silver. Ministers, vessel of wood. And then, if you are a leader or a worker in church, earth. Other people are not vessels at all. No. It is not God that determines what kind of vessel you are. And this vessel is not by responsibility. It's not by office. Now, who determines the kind of vessel you are? Verse 21 now. If a man, not if God, if a man therefore purge himself from these, that's from the things he had listed earlier. Things like false doctrine. We'll get to that, all of them, in this series. If you purge yourself from these things, you shall be a vessel unto honor. So it is actually you that will make yourself the kind of vessel you become. So God will is the one that chooses your responsibility. You choose whether you'll be a vessel of honor or dishonor. You choose whether you'll be gold or silver by how you set yourself up. And that's the basis for this teaching this month. That you can decide what you be with God and how far you go with Him. You might not be able to decide for make God call you to be a pastor. No. But you'll be able to decide how far you will go wherever He has put you. I'm a pastor today, serving in this capacity. How far I will go, I'm not talking about the size of our church or how many branches we have, no. How far I will go, I mean, how excellently I will do my job is dependent on me. I get what I'm saying? It's dependent on me. It's dependent on me. How I've pushed myself from certain things. How I've prepared myself. How I've set up myself. I want to challenge you this morning to set up yourself to be a vessel of honor. You must choose to fulfill your calling. And choose to succeed in it for what success is. Decide that you will not fail God. Because actually, yes, God will choose what you will do. But you will choose how far you go in it. Decide that you will not fail God. And there are two major ways to begin to fulfill your ministry. Number one is that you must be available. You must be available. You must be available. God will always start off with men who are available. I'll say that again. God will always start off with available men. I gave them an example in the first service. You look at men like Peter. Look at men like John, James. All the people used of God. And if you observe their life, you will see flaws. Look at Peter, who was a very inconsistent man. Very unstable man. He said anything he wants to say. He denied Jesus 3 times. Yet Jesus was using him. Why? At least he was available. He was there. I know what I'm talking about. Are you following me? You see, you look at James and John, for instance. Great guys. But they were a bit hot-tempered. I showed you in the first time. The other time they were quarreling about who is it on the right hand and who is it on the left. When Jesus, on the last day. Imagine that kind of argument. They were even fighting. I will be on the left. I will be on the right. So, in other words, no other disciples mattered. Only both of them. So, one wants to take left, one wants to take right. Amen. Their mother even brought them to Jesus and told Jesus, please permit that one of these ones will stay on your right and the other person will stay on your left. Think about that. Glory to God. You see, those guys in Luke chapter 9 told Jesus, let us call down fire from heaven to devour an entire community. Such short-tempered guys. Jesus was working with them. You look at Matthew, who was a tax collector. In case you don't know what that means, they were the front stars of those days. The Yahoo boys of those days. Because, of course, as a tax collector, he was working with the Roman Empire. To start with, the Jews didn't even like them. Because he was working with the Roman guys to collect tax from the Jews. And, of course, get some profits, swindle people. So they were seen as evil men. But Jesus picked him. Are you following me, friends? You look at Thomas, who doubted until Jesus even rose from the dead. You know, the funny thing, Jesus spent 3.5 years explaining to those people how he would die and rise again. And they didn't believe it. Thomas finally heard that he has risen. He said, unless I put my hand. Now, imagine if you are Jesus. You be training people for 3.5 years to believe something, and when that finally happens, one says, it's a lie, I don't agree. It's a child. You know what it looks like? I've been teaching you guys, miracles are real. And then one day you hear that in one of the total services that you didn't attend, that, you know, someone stepped here open, say it's a lie, if I did not see. Have you been a member of this church? That was Thomas. Jesus was working with him. The climax of it all was Judas. We just know, you know, he betrayed Jesus, but do you know that before he betrayed Jesus, he was going with them for every mission work they went to. And Jesus knew. I told you guys, you know Judas was a thief. How many of you know Judas was a thief? Do you know that? Are you aware he was a thief? John chapter 12. I don't know. John chapter 12. Glory to God. I love the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 4. Because in verse 3, Mary poured a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with his hair, with her hair and all of that. Now verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, he was acting like he cared for the poor. Read with me, everybody. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag and bear what was put therein. Let me tell you what that meant. He was the one holding their money because Jesus' ministry had money. Probably like NLT. People were giving to them. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. Since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he also stole some. Judas Iscariot. And Jesus knew he was a thief. Or was still working with him. Look at how it works. If you are available, God will start with you. However, if you don't adjust in the process, I will still come back later in this series, you will not get to the fulfillment of your calling. Because Judas eventually didn't fulfill his calling. Because he didn't readjust. Peter readjusted. Other disciples readjusted, which I will still come to in this series. But he in particular did not readjust. But you see, my point today is God can start with you at least the way you are. Once you are available. I get to the point. Once you are available. There's evangelism tomorrow. Come out. If you are available. Even if you don't know what to preach or how to talk. For the mere fact that you are available, God will start with you. I remember vividly when I started ministry, I really didn't know anything. You know, I used to say I didn't know much. But as I grew further in my walk with God, I realized I didn't know anything then. But I was just around. I going for mission work. I volunteered myself for a 1 month mission work. The next day after I got saved. 1 month. I volunteered myself for it. Immediately I got saved. Now, I can tell you, I've told you guys, sincerely under God, I didn't even know what we were going to go and do there. I didn't know we were going to do this. I just went. And everything God began to do in my life started with that availability. I get to the point. By the time I went for that mission work, I've never prayed for 1 hour straight. Never. Even 30 minutes was a problem. But I volunteered and I went. I'd like you to know that when you are available, God will start the work with you. He'll start off. Just be available. Because God will do more with the available than He will do with the one that thinks he's perfect but is at home. God cannot use in your room. Use in your room. It's when you make yourself available to be used that He will now begin to use you. You are in your room, God will not, He will not come into your room to come and use you. Are you following me? That's why, you know, there are people, for instance, there are a lot of people in this church. People come in here, they come and they go. Possibly, let me talk about departments here. Possibly there is someone that is in this church who even snaps better than our media team in terms of photography skill. Where the person learned it. Maybe there's a better sound engineer than our technical team. Maybe there's someone that even plays drums better than our drummers. But you know the difference? It's not about the skill. These people are around. So they are the ones God will work with. They are maybe better singer than the choir. But the choir, they are available. I get what I'm saying. There might be a better preacher than some of us that come evangelism. Maybe you are even a natural orator. But you don't ever come for that evangelism. God will not come to your room to use you now. It is the available that He starts with. Are you following me this morning? He starts with the available. So, you want to fulfill your ministry, it starts by you being available. Be available. Amen. And then wait, the next thing I'm going to say, be ready to serve and be ready to follow in all circumstances. Be ready to serve. Be ready to serve and ready to follow in all circumstances. You know, one of the reasons why the disciples of Jesus became everything they became under Him, these two reasons are major. Do you know why? They were always around and they were ready to serve Him and follow Him even when they didn't understand anything. I gave an example in the first service. Acts 1 verse 21. Oh glory. Now go back a little, because what was happening here was they were about to select somebody that would replace Judas. I look for someone that will replace Judas. Because the Bible said this, bishop will let another take. So they were listing out the qualifications for who will replace Judas. Now, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now see the next verse. Wherefore of this man, look at the qualification, probably like NLT. Oh glory. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. Verse 22. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. So the qualification is that before you become a qualification to be an apostle with them, you must have been with them. That's why I mentioned availability. You must have been around from the days of when Jesus was baptized till he left. So if you left along the line in the middle, you are disqualified. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why availability is key. Availability is key. And so let me even digress to say, that's why when we come to church, in this church we say, we cannot make you a worker here, or a leader here, or a pastor here. You've not been around for a long time. People say, why? It's in the Bible. No matter your anointing, you couldn't have replaced Judas if you're not around from the days of John till that time. That's why pastors who do such things don't understand what ministry is. Someone joins the church 1 year, 2 years, they say, sometimes 1 year is even much. 3 months. Because he speaks in tongues and capital as kapurakapakata. He says, hey, prayer secretary. Maybe the apostles didn't do that. Must have been around. Availability. When we call for something, you are around. It's time to park seats, you are around. And I say this for some of the people in this church who've been around, I said to some people in this church, I know that their life is not yet very perfect and we are working on them. But you know one good thing? They are around. And I said this to the minister. I was telling you guys about some people recently. They are around. They might not, you might have some complaints about them, but they. And that's the important thing. God will not fulfill all he wants to do with them if they don't readjust and change. But God will start with them. He will. So you see, if he was around from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. So if the day just was to be taken from them, you did not attend. Oh, are you feeling what I'm talking about? You cannot be an apostle. Availability is a big deal. Are you following me? So if that day Jesus was about to take him from them, you went out to buy sugar. So drink garri. It's over. But you know what led me to this scripture actually is, when by the time they gave all these criteria, how many people did they pick? See the next verse. Verse 23. So they nominated two men. Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Joseph, and Matthias. There were only two people, that, apart from the disciples, that apostles that qualified for this. Two people. Matthias. And so, what of all the crowd that was following Jesus? They turned back. I think in John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus preached a very serious message. He told them, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. They began to turn back. They left him. You see, people that God will use must be willing to follow and say to him, whatever you want us to do, I may not understand everything, but I want to do what you want me to do. John 6 verse 66. And as they were leaving, Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and told them, would you guys also go away? That's the 12 apostles. Will you also go away? Others are leaving. You too, you do want to go? And the answer is very strategic. He said, to whom shall we go? That's that Simon Peter. You wonder why God is using him. For thou hast the words of eternal life. Do you know that at this point, they didn't even understand everything that Jesus taught them. But they just wanted to follow him. The man that God will use will be ready to follow even when everything is not making sense. Even when he doesn't understand all the instructions, he wants to follow. There may be days God will tell you to do things that you don't understand. You follow him. So you are available, number one, and then you are ready and willing to follow and to serve. Even when you don't have all the answers. Food may not be ready. Money may not be available. You know, people that chicken out when there is any problem, say, I'm no longer forgiving God again. You can't go far with God, sir. Willing to follow at all times. No personal ambition. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. If he says you jump up, that's all I'm going to do. That willingness to follow. You know, you think that these guys were following Jesus and he was paying them salary. No. As a matter of fact, they were not even preaching. There are only two times or so in the Bible that he ever sent them to go and preach. Go read your Bible. They were just following him up and down. The other time they went to buy food for him. The other time he sent Peter to the mouth of fish to get money. The other time he told them to go and prepare room for him, for them to hold their Passover. That's all they were doing, just following. But they were willing. If anybody had told them that one day they'll become the 12 apostles we talk about. You know, when you get to heaven, there are 12 seats. 12 special seats for these 12 apostles. No other person is in that capacity. No other person. That's what Judas lost, actually. No other person is in that capacity. Not even me. that are called the apostles of the Lamb, the traditional apostles. Another person is there. Even Paul is not in that capacity. Paul is a foundational apostle, but Paul is not an apostle of the Lamb. Are you following what I'm saying, everybody? But you see, all they did was follow him everywhere. Let's jump up. Fine. Let's go to Samaria. Okay. Let's go to Judea. Okay. Let's go to Jerusalem. That's followership. That's how you walk with God. When God finds that kind of person, you go far with him. That's how to fulfill your ministry. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it. I showed you in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. When Paul or Saul got born again. Or not, he hasn't got born again. But he encountered the Lord on the way to Damascus. And it's interesting that the first thing he asked, Jesus told him, "It is me." He said, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" That's the question every Christian needs to ask at every time. Lord, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do? Let's see something in the first service. Any servant who needs explanation every time is a bad servant. As a follower, there are things that you could be asked to do and there will be no explanation. Even when you are serving, following your pastor. If you walk closely with me, there are things I ask people to do, I don't explain to them why. I know. I want it. Sometimes I don't even know, but I just told them to do it. And the yes result. Then, as a following God too, the same thing. You know, I gave an example in the first service. If God tells you, my son, empty all your accounts and go and give your pastor or go and give to the church. And I'm telling you, in 7 days, there'll be a turnaround. Well, that's easier to do. But if God tells you, empty your account, no promises, nothing. He says, Lord, what will become of me? Nothing. And you empty it after 1 month, hunger is still dealing with you. You don't have to understand everything before you obey God. There are things you will not have an answer to. But just follow. Lord, I want to follow you. What will you have me do? What will you have me do? How will you have me serve? Where do you want me to go to? Which village, sir? Which community? Okay, I should just serve you. Saturday, let's go evangelism. You don't have money. You have to trek. But Lord, since they say I should be there, I will be there. Begin to trek down. Yes. That's that kind of heart. Begin to trek down. People say, I'm very, very stupid. Even you are trekking evangelism. The Lord wants me there. Lord, what will you have me do? Go to Gariki. Preach to a sinner. Sir, I don't have money. Are you telling God that you don't have money? You think he doesn't know your account when he sent you there? He knows that you don't have money. And he still said you should go. You get up. One day my dad said to me, not my spiritual dad now, my biological dad, when I was very young, he asked me a question. He said, if I ask you to go and carry this table, will you carry it? I asked him, how will you ask me to carry that? Don't you know I cannot carry it? And then he asked me, when I asked you to carry that table, did I not know that you cannot carry it? I thought I was very stubborn child growing up. He said, I said, you know I cannot carry it. And I asked him to carry it. He said, sometimes when I tell you to do that kind of thing, I know you cannot carry it. I know your capacity. Just go and try lifting it. Because it's in the obedience. Are you following me, friends? Ministry is in obedience. Willingness to follow. Willingness to do everything God wants you to do. At all times. Lord, what will you have me do? And that day, he taught me a lesson. So when God says, I want, is it in this church? I want, it's time to put up a meeting that will pack up the whole stadium. And we run the budget to pack up a stadium is already at 20 million. And all you have is 7 million. You don't go to meet the Lord to say, hey, we don't have the money. You think he doesn't know your bank account when he told you to do that. He knows it. He said you shouldn't do it. What do? You try lifting the table. Are you following me, friends? Everything, go and preach. They don't even know if I've eaten. I may not know if you have eaten, but God knows you've not eaten. Yet he's telling me to tell you to go and preach. Are you following me, friends? You be ready to serve, willing to obey in all circumstances, under any condition. So I close with this charge. Be available. And when you're available, be willing and ready to follow, to obey in any condition, under all circumstances. That is how to begin to fulfill your ministry. Are you blessed this morning? Stand to your feet. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Lift your voice. Let's pray in tongues. Fill this place with tongues. Jebale karon ta labasata. Fill this place with tongues.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.